we're not bailing out on the sermon, we have company. Merry Christmas to all, Lord bless to all. And you too.
He doesn't know it, but they're going downstairs to listen to this. He'll find out. Oh, praise the Lord. It's really good being with you. I love Christmas, especially as a kid. We were kind of poor on the farm. My mom and dad both had to work out, and, you know, we were raising cattle and different things, and we wasn't real prosperous, but I can remember Christmas, I'd always be, you know, it's like, okay, what am I going to get? Most of the time, all I got was socks and underwear. So, very practical gifts, right? And then I needed them through the year. So it was good, but I would kind of like a toy once in a while. But after a few years, and my mom got me a pogo stick. Did you ever have a pogo stick? They come straight up in the spring, you get on them and you bounce. Did you ever get hit under the chin with one? I wonder it didn't knock all my teeth out. I had a lot of headaches though, but anyway, I got good at it and survived. But anyway, you know, God is good. There's so much about God that, you know, I don't understand. I just don't understand. I read about it and I kind of get hold of it, but you know, it never brings me to the point where I don't know if I can believe that. Do you ever get there? It's like, wow, boy, I don't know if that's really true, but it's in God's word. And so I read it, I say, God, I believe it, but then teach me how, teach me what it means. Show me how to go there. So I've learned to really hunt scriptures out in the Bible. You know, I have tablets at home that I just write scriptures out as I find them. And I'll write them out and I'll search even those that I find that goes with this one. And because I want to know. I'm hungry for it. But there's so much of it I don't know now. It's kind of like walking by faith. So somebody mentions that there's a young lady that needs help. So let's do a blessing jar. Well, what's that? You know, nobody knew. It's the first time we ever did it. And so it was drop your coins or dollar bills. Most everybody is all dollar bills pretty well. And we didn't want to count it. We would just figure, no, God, we're just doing this for you. And then we want to give it anonymously. There. And so we did that. And we didn't know if we'd ever hear about it or what blessing or if it, you know, if it was really people needed to be blessed by it, you know. But we did it out of faith. And then look what God did with it. It was the right person. It was the right amount. And it was the right time. See, that's God, and that's how faith works. We did that with not understanding what it was all about, if we'd ever hear about it, or what would take place. We just did it. And look what God did with it, with our faithfulness and our trust in Him. Folks, that's how we learn to walk in faith. That's what it's all about. You don't know what kind of blessing you can really be. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and then guide you and then be obedient to do it, even though you don't understand anything about it. That's what it's all about, to learn to have faith in God. So I have a message here that I was going to do last week. And I liked it and I wanted to share it. And so there were a few things that happened in the church, and I thought, well, maybe I ought to change my message. And so I got in, and I think I prepared two or three other messages, but they just didn't sit right. And so I said, all right, I'll do what I wanted to do. But I wanted to make sure, you know, I wanted to make sure what God really wanted. You know, we got people here that need healing, and there's things going on in their families, and kids are hurting, and all of this. But I want to tell you, God has got it under control. We can trust him. I know the doctors say what they say, but there's a lot of times doctors don't know what they're talking about. Because we know the great physician, and he knows everything, and he's the one that can change it. So maybe you had something, but the Lord says, no, we're taking care of that. You ask, it's done. And then we're totally healed of it. And the doctors are surprised like we are. Amen? So I just want to say to you, don't give up. You need to just say, God, what are you trying to teach me, first of all? And then, Lord, teach me that I know this, but Lord, I want to know even more that I can trust you and you're trustworthy. And I believe that. I know that's true. But Lord, I want my kids to know. I want my neighbors to know. Or even my church to know. That, hey, we had this issue and we prayed about it and we just trusted God. And look what he did. That's why you hear the testimonies this morning of people. Even wanting to find a poem or remember a poem. Folks, God's faithful. So let's us be faithful with him. Amen? We probably better get in the message, otherwise I won't get it done, right? Turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I think this is so very, very important because this has messed up so many people in life. Luke 17 and verse 1, it's a warning from Jesus. Jesus is warning all of us of offenses, being hurt, being offended, becoming angry and unforgiving. And this is what he says about it. Acts chapter 17 in Luke. Did I say Luke? Oh, okay. You guys figure it out while I was talking. But it's Luke 17. Starting with verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, he said, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Wow, what a warning. And then he says this in verse 2, he says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Folks, this is really talking about messing up people with wrong teaching and lies and causing one of the little ones to believe it and then to fall. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, the Lord says, you shall forgive him. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask this morning that you would open your word to us. I know a lot of times, Lord, we read this and say, oh, I know that. I understand that. But Lord, sometimes we don't understand the depth of what you're trying to share it with us on. So help us to know this, to understand it, and Lord, that we might guard against it. It's one thing to know about it, but it's another thing, Lord, to be able to do it. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide us, strengthen us, and just give us the power that we need to be obedient in this, because it's crucial. So, Father, I just thank you for your word, your love, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you the first verse again in Luke 17:1 out of the Amplified. It says it a little different there. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, stumbling blocks, temptations, and traps set to lure one to sin are sure to come, but woe, judgment is coming to him through whom they came. Pretty strong words. Real strong words. You know, I've noticed that a lot of times in the church that there's a lot of, at times, lies that are taught. I've believed some of them. You know, my two daughters downstate and Dakota, they went to a prophecy conference or a teaching down there. And so they had this prophet down there that was preaching. And man of many words, great orator, you know, I mean, just look at him, it's like, wow, okay, we can trust this guy and follow him. He knows what he's talking about. Well, what he started talking about was healing, which is great. But he said, what we're missing and why a lot of people never get healed is because you don't pray to dirt. He said, all life comes from dirt. He said, you even got to plant seeds in dirt. So he says, therefore, that's what a lot of them are missing out on. He says, they don't pray to the dirt. They don't use the power that the dirt has. And so anyway, my daughters bought books from him and tapes, and they just thought he was the greatest ever, you know, just the best. And Dakota calls me all excited. You know, hey, Grandpa, we went and heard this prophet down there in Lansing. And, you know, he said the thing that we're missing is the dirt and all of that. So he's sharing all this, and I'm like, wow, how gullible can we be? And I said, Dakota, where does that say that in the Bible? Where does it say you have to use dirt? You have to pray dirt. Well, he says our church, the one that they were going to at the time, they had a prayer group, prayer warrior group. And what they did after hearing that is they went and got a bucket of dirt. And their pastor was sick, dying of prostate cancer. I think it was prostate cancer. No, some kind of cancer. And so he was at home and he couldn't preach. He was in bad shape. So the prayer team got a bucket of dirt and they went to his house and they put some dirt on him and they prayed and all of that. And of course, he's since died, you know. But it's like, how can people be so gullible? And you know, then Dakota and them were talking. Of course, I got it across to him how silly that was and how wrong it was. And finally, he believed me. He said, well, we're going to go burn our books. So he did. They took them out and drive, and I think they burn them or whatever, get rid of that stuff. Since then, this guy came up with a thing, and he was preaching about Genesis 1:1. But he said, did you know that there was really a Genesis 0? Really? Of course, it's not printed anywhere. It's not in the Bible. But yet you come up with a Genesis 0. And that's on YouTube. That's on you. And I turned it off. This guy is way off. But do you see how easy it is for people to believe junk like that? You know, I seen your faces, and you're all like, dirt? What are you talking about, dirt? You know, never take a shower again. You know, but that happens. It really happens to people. They believe lies. another big lie that most people believe and want to believe, and I've mentioned it before, is the once saved, always saved. Most of the people that I try to talk to about that will get angry and they won't talk to me anymore. I've had prisoners get up in the middle of a message and walk out. And it's like, well, if that's true, what's your problem? You know, you can talk about against faith or whatever, and it doesn't offend me. You know, I'll pray for you, and I feel regret that you don't understand and you can't believe things you don't really understand, but it says it in the Word, you know. But I don't get offended of it. It's like it's you just haven't really dealt into that where God could really teach you all about that. And the church is going to be learning more about that. So I don't know what your feelings on some of this other stuff that I'm going to be teaching you, but I want to tell you that I believe once saved, always saved has sent a lot of people to hell. That's why I'm so against it. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody, okay? I kind of hate that. I always want people to be happy, you know, and to like me, but that never happens very much. Because I'm gonna preach the truth. And the thing is, if I can teach you how to forgive, then you can forgive me 52 times a year, right? So I'm just gonna try to teach you about forgiving, letting that go. But in the main part, I'd like for you to research it. So let's research it just a little bit, okay? I don't want you taking my words for it, because I don't know very much. Probably most of you know more than me, and that's okay. I'm trying to catch up with you. Amen? So have pity on me. Revelations 2:14. It says, but I have a few things against you. Jesus talking to the church. This is a message that John got and wrote him to give to the churches, the seven churches, or the however many there were. He says, I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. If you want to read about that, that's in Numbers 25, starting with verse 1. See, Balak went and got Balaam to curse the Israelites. And when he went on the hill to and seen them and went to speak over them, he couldn't curse them, but bless them, because God wouldn't let him. And he did that several times, and Balak was really upset with him. He says, I hired you to come here to curse them. And he says, all you've done these three times is bless them. And he was very angry. Well, then Balaam talked and said, well, yeah, I can't bless him or curse him. But he says, I'll tell you what you can do. While they're camped, he said, you can send a lot of your young ladies down there. And they'll get to know them and then have them take meat from your burnt offerings to your gods and bring them in. They'll eat some of that. And then you'll coax them to go and do it with you. And that's what was happening. But see, that was the instruction. He was saying, God wants to bless these people. His people would let anyone curse them. But I'm going to tell you, they could walk away from God and bring a curse on themselves. But we think we can do anything we want. With once saved, always saved, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you think or what anybody says. Well, you might as well throw your Bible away. Because anything in there that says that you really need to do, like forgive and to love, you don't, why would you have to do it? You're saved and it doesn't matter. Throw that all away. You don't need that. Man, you can sin like the Israelites did that Balaam introduced. You can do all that. There's no problem, man. God loves you. You're still going to heaven. Can you see how ridiculous that is? And it's taking people to hell. They're waking up in hell and saying, why am I here? Man, I was saved. It's sad. Get a bucket of dirt too. You know, really, look at the Titanic. Y'all know that sunk, right? Huh? It was the unsinkable ship. The unsinkable. It had a captain that was so prideful. He's sailed so many times on the seas, done that route. Now he's got the unsinkable ship. So now there's no danger. Man, we can just fire this baby up and we're going to get to New York on time, maybe early. And then he's getting all these warnings from other ships coming from the other way, saying, hey, watch out for icebergs. And they ignored them. So they give warning after warning after warning, and they ignore them all. Because they got a captain that knows better. They got a ship that can't be sunk anyway. So what's the danger? So out of his pride, he said, just keep this ship sailing. Don't slow up. We don't need the watches. Let's just head on. We're okay. I don't care what they say about these icebergs. And they hit one and sank. And all of those people died. But see, they were in the unsinkable ship with the captain who was infallible. He knew it all. And yet they all went to their doom except the few that were on the lifeboats. Folks, can you see how dangerous life can be? When you believe the wrong things, and I think a lot of people were on that boat who may have been afraid of a boat sinking, but heard that it's the unsinkable. So they felt very confident to get on and to sail to meet their demise. Folks, that's how we are sometimes when you believe the wrong things. I get into God's word. You can talk. I hear it from good preachers. And I'll get it down, and then I want to search it out. You see, the Holy Spirit a lot of times will convict you. Do you ever get that down in your spirit? Like, wow, I don't know if that's really true or not. Or you have a little doubt about something, and the Holy Spirit gives that, I don't know. You know, don't say, oh, well, yeah, this is a good preacher. This guy knows everything. Man, he's been on TV and all of that. He's pastoring a big church. Folks, I've heard some of these guys, and they believed in once saved, always saved as well. I'm like, I told my wife, I said, haven't they even looked at the scriptures? Haven't they proved it out? And looked at it, you can't take stuff like that. That is so condemning to people if it's wrong. You know, the good thing about it, though, is if I'm wrong and you believe that, you're good to go. You lose nothing, right? But what if I'm right? Then what do you got to lose? Everything. So, play it safe. Just kind of think, maybe this dumb guy's got something together this time. You know, what have you got to lose? You won't lose anything. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says this. I'll read it in the Amplified. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, You are to restore such a person to a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. It says, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. It says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ, that is, the law of Christian love. Folks, it's saying here, if you see someone in a sin, are they been talking about it? Do you just say, ah, that's okay, there's no big deal? Well, Galatians is saying it's kind of a big deal. He says you need to go to them and try to win them back. See, this, it is serious. Meaning they can go to hell if they stay where they're at. We need to show brotherly love and go to them. Not trying to be nosy or cause problems or make them think that we're better than them. Well, I don't do that, That's not what it's saying. It's saying have a heart for those that are lost. Minister to them the best you can. And try to draw them out of that. We're going to learn to love people. James 5:19 and 20. I want to give you this one. I usually don't use a Message translation, but I did here. James 5:19-20. It says, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. It's saying, man, we're not to throw people away and give up on them and say that we don't really care. He says, don't write them off. Go after them. Bring them back and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction. And prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Do y'all see what the word is saying here, what Jesus is saying? Man, we got to learn to care for others. Realizing that they're wandering away and in sin, that it's going to send them to where they don't want to go. That's why you go after them, you try to change them. So I hope you're seeing the importance in this. So this emphasizes the importance of repentance and the process of forgiveness. It's also essential to understand the broader biblical context of forgiveness. Let me give you another one. In Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus teaches this. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, doesn't it? It's in the Lord's Prayer. We pray it all the time. Now, let me tell you something. You know, I don't like, it's hard for me. I do it a lot, but it's hard for me to go someone and try to get their forgiveness. You know, I do it. I love it, really, but it's hard sometimes. So I wanted to see in Scripture what I could do that I didn't put myself in that place to where I had to always go and try to get forgiveness. In other words, I don't want to offend anybody. And it says this, Proverbs 19:11. It says, and I'll give it to you in the TPT. It says, and that's Proverbs 19:11, TPT. It says, an understanding person demonstrates patience, for mercy means holding your tongue. Do you ever have to bite your tongue? It hurts. I do it a lot. When you are insulted, be quick to forgive. And then it says, and forget. Folks, don't hold on to it. Because if you hold on to something like that, you'll start entertaining the idea, well, maybe I won't forgive them. It's too hard to forgive that. I've had people tell me, well, you don't know what they did to me. So I'm not able to forgive them. But it says to forgive and then forget, for you are victorious when you overlook an offense. Sometimes I consider the source. If I don't value what they say anyway, why would I value an offense? You know what I'm saying? James 1:19-20. So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we choose not to forgive others, the Bible offers guidance and warnings regarding the consequences, both spiritual and relational. So it is important to do. And Hebrews 12:15. This is a danger that happens to us if we hold on to anger and bitterness. It says, Hebrews 12:15, we are urged to be diligent in preventing any root of bitterness springing up to cause trouble and defile many. Unforgiveness can consume our hearts and minds, disrupting peace and harmony. A lot of us here raise gardens, right? What if you had two or three thistle branches, thistle plants come up? Do you kind of hoe around them, keep the weeds off, and maybe fertilize a little bit or water them when it's dry? Oh, they make a pretty plant, don't they? A lot of blooms on them, right? And then they open up, and then it gives like this cotton stuff that's in there. And when the wind blows, it just flies all over. It's just so pretty, right? Man, that stuff is wicked. I remember my dad having me going out in a pasture with a hoe, digging them out by the roots for days and days because they'd spread so fast. And folks, that's what unforgiveness does. That's what your bitter and anger does to you. It gets in your heart. And it says, man, you got to be careful. That root of bitterness will come up in you. It'll spring up. Do you ever try to get along with a bitter person? Boy, they're hard to keep happy. You know what I mean? You say something they don't like and boy, they snap. But it's that bitterness that's in there. It's that sin. It's that thing that the devil uses to entrap us and to ruin us and to draw us away from God and away from each other. Folks, it's bad news. We really need to learn how to forgive. I guess you probably already learned about me is I can easily make people a little upset. But I think it's more beneficial for me if I teach you the truth, the hard truth, that maybe nobody else will teach or share, and that you really need to hear. And if you're all good, which I believe most of you are, because you're gracious people, so I won't take anything from you. But you can use what I say to help other people, maybe. So it doesn't need to just stop here. And then you feel, well, he only preaches that to us. And it's like, no, I don't. You should talk to some other people. Well, maybe you shouldn't talk to other people. But I'm truthful. But if God can't use me to tell the truth and preach his word, then I'm going to quit. Because I'd be no good to you or to God. But see, if you love the people, you tell them the truth. I'm not after a what's happening now church. I'm not seeker friendly. You get a lot of people that come in because they just want things nice and all of that. What good are they? What good are we? We can't even really talk to them. Folks, people are going to hell. And most of them don't even know it. I don't want anybody in hell looking up and say, Jim, why'd you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Let's take a moment. Just kind of think about what you've heard and let God deal with your heart. Just take a moment, just to kind of think about it. You know, even if you're questioning, a lot of you have taken notes, thank God. Go home and look this stuff up. And see if what I'm telling you this morning isn't true. And isn't really important, folks. You plan your whole lives sometimes of jobs and homes and children and on, but a lot of times we don't think 15 minutes about where we're going for eternity. This life is so short. Bible says it's just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Where are you going tomorrow? Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says this. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we've received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. Folks, you sin willfully, there's no sacrifice for that. We will have people here that if you want prayer, we always make that available. But I'm going to pray now and close. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, again, make it so real to all of us. Give us the abilities, Lord. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit so that we can minister to others that may be on the wrong track, who don't even know it or realize it. Lord, that we could speak into their lives and bring them back to you. Lord, use us in a mighty way. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.